Welcome Black.
Welcome Black. You are listening to the Seeds of Revolution, Daughters of the Whirlwind podcast,
where we discuss legacy, history, resistance, and forward movement.
The revolution is live.
What's going on?
A lot's going on.
Wow. There's been a lot of changes since we've met like this.
A lot of changes.
Lots and lots of changes. So, you know, as you can see, our names are, you know, right under our faces. But for our listeners, I am Dr. Asante Wasuni Ali.
I am Princess Madaya Yisrael.
And I am Aisha T. Obafemi.
All right. I love how Aisha did the...
Together, we are Daughters of the Whirlwind.
Daughters of the Whirlwind. Yes. Yes. So the last time we saw so many of you or even heard from folks like related to the podcast was the day that our Baba Bilal Sunni Ali passed, December 30th, 2024. We actually had our screening of Seeds of Revolution, Growing Up New African. And we went ahead and screened it. We did not do the talk back. I know some folks had questions about that. Some people didn't know if we had gone through with the actual screening, but we did. We did. And we felt that it would be a good way to honor ourselves and our Baba in that moment, who is also featured in the film. So that was also really special just seeing him. Like 10 years ago, you know, with so much life in his body and, you know, speaking truth to power, just about, you know, the power of music and the power of younger generations carrying on traditions. So yeah, that was the last time so many of you, you know, heard from us. And since then, there's been so many other changes. I can share mine really quick. I am a whole mom of three now. All throughout the first half of season four, I was nice and pregnant. gave birth 30 days after daddy transitioned, which, you know, is a whole thing unto itself. It's just so special. But yeah, that's my biggest change. There's been so many others, but that's been my biggest, what I've been up to since we last met for part one of season four, and why we even split it the way that we did, so that, you know, the birthing process could happen and we could still bring you this very important growing up series that we've curated. Absolutely. What about y'all?
Well, for me, you all, this is Princess Madaya. As our sister said, just the whole transition from, being a caretaker of our Baba, and him passing and coming back home to my land, was a different process. Just having to kind of like reevaluate my life in so many ways. To decide, you know, what to do next and how to do it. Because, you know, as a caretaker, you put so much into that process that a lot of things, not that it gets left to the wayside, but it just doesn't get your full energy. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, yes, I just reevaluated and started tackling the things that I know I had on hand. We have a school here, Goshen Hebrew Academy at Temple Kief Haaretz. We were in our fourth year during the process of me being the caretaker. So I, you know, was able to like put more energy to that with the education of our youth. So proud. My niece, Amina Charm, attends, which is Dr. Santua's oldest daughter. So, you know, that's always beautiful. And then just seeing that process through, which we just ended our school year, May 25th. Which was so amazing. We had a great time. We had an aviation-free two-day aviation program. We had our field day. We had our princess and princesses ball. And we had our awards program for our students. And this year was the first year that our Baba did not actually open up the ceremony. He usually opens up the ceremony playing, I believe, The Children Are the Future by Whitney Houston. And so, yeah, so it was definitely.
He would play it on flute.
Yes, on flute. Beautiful. And so, yeah, it was definitely a different feeling. But however, we prevailed, we got through. And yeah, just being the caretaker, and I guess you could say in so many ways, curator of our land, and getting back to that, getting back to my garden, getting back to just cultivating the different projects that we have on the land. We're about to gather our animals again. So I'm about to have more sheep and goats to shepherd, and I'm enjoying that part. And yeah, you know, just picking up life
day by day.
Yes.
So for me, since we were all last together, I spent most of December in Africa, 25 days to be exact. Went to Tanzania, went to Cameroon, where I went and met our maternal line, the Takar tribe. Found out that one of my best friends and business partners is actually our cousin. Shout out to Dora Den.
Hey, Dora.
Whitney.
And then we left Cameroon and we went to Congo, which was interesting because 2 weeks after we left, then it was a whole, you know, thing happening over there. And then we ended in Ghana. And at each turn, I would FaceTime Baba and let him know where I was and show him. And so he was traveling with me. I think Princess Madaya said she heard him telling somebody, yeah, I'm going to Africa.
Learning different languages.
He was going with me. And it's, you know, it's really beautiful that it ended in Ghana, where, you know, his paternal line is tied to. So that's, yeah, that was really, really beautiful. And so, yeah, we've just been navigating through all of these things. So the good, the bad, the emotional, the not so emotional. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that Princess Madaya's eldest child and eldest daughter, Tahura Ama, graduated from Georgia State.
Where's the screamers?
And yeah, she is the first grandchild on the Suni Ali line to do so. So she's representing as a big cousin and big sister that she always is. And she may be short in stature, but she's a giant. And on Mother's Day, we were able to surprise her with a graduation party. And so that was beautiful. Yeah. And I think that was really the first Mother's Day for me that I didn't cry so much over mommy not being here. I felt her with us and that she was so happy graduated and that we were celebrating. So it was really, really beautiful. And it was a great way to spend Mother's Day.
Yeah, it really was. Like, I feel that, like, I actually didn't, that was the first time I truly didn't miss mommy on that.
Yeah, I didn't, it didn't make me overly sad thinking about Mother's Day.
And I think what you said was, yeah, she was there celebrating with us. So it was like, we didn't even think, like, oh, she's not here. Like, she was right there.
And we had her picture there, her and Auntie Laverne. And so it was great. It was beautiful.
And I did want to say, because I did forget, that my big sister and I actually traveled to Belize.
Oh, yeah.
What was that? 2-3 weeks after Baba passed, we went to Belize, where he last lived physically prior to living here on our land here in Georgia. But he lived back and forth in Belize, and we went there to pack up his belongings and, of course, things that belonged to our mother as well that he had with him. And so that was, for me, it was definitely something. I can't even describe the feeling because I hadn't been back there since our family was on the run 43 years ago. So I hadn't been back to Belize in 43 years. And the irony of it all was when Aisha and I landed, we got a rental car We're driving. We're following. First of all, I don't know why we thought using our iPhone Google Maps.
It wasn't working over there.
So what it did was it got us somewhere. So what it did, it directed us straight to the place where our family actually was living on the run.
Ladyville.
Us. We're just driving and we're like, and mind you, we get stuck in this alley.
In the mud.
Mm-hmm. We were just in a space. We were just happy to be there and just like, okay, let's go.
We never stressed about it. It was very calm.
Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, well, the only thing I was saying was, well, I don't have my weapon, but you know, all right, Most High got us. Aisha's like, I'm going to finish these chips and then we're going to finish.
And then our angel showed up.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, this man came out of the blended of the houses from nowhere. We were like, what in the world? And we got his attention. And I'm talking about this man did everything and got us out of the ditch.
Got us out.
Safely guided us to the road. And he said he wasn't even supposed to be there.
He was not supposed to be there. And we blessed him with an offering, a love offering, a very nice one, because we were so appreciative. Yes. He said, you don't know how much I needed this.
Yep.
And you know, just like we needed you.
Exactly. And he gave credence to the Most High as we did, because truly it was all in the Most High's hands. Our phones weren't working, so we couldn't call a tow truck. We couldn't tell anybody where we were.
Yeah, we were.
We didn't tell anybody, okay, stuck in an alley in Belize, y'all. Like, we couldn't even, like, nothing. But the Most High was with us, most importantly. And so he sent that brother to assist us. And we didn't even get his name. He didn't get ours.
But he was so beautiful spirit. Beautiful energy.
We'll never forget him. And I'm sure if we ever go back to Ladyville, we'll find him.
Oh, we'll find him.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to acknowledge that we actually ended up in Ladyville.
Yeah.
I remember us calling Chaka, and we was like, Chaka, we in Ladyville, da, da, da. And he was like, you're right where we were. Yeah. It was just amazing, because even when we saw it, I was like, this seems familiar.
And I was just glad that you went.
Yeah.
Because you hadn't been in so long, and you know, we go often, and to actually pack up and do all of the things, and that was the emotional part, and we did it on the front end, and then on the back end we were able to relax and be at a resort and enjoy ourselves, and our cousin Seth Shakur joined us, and it was beautiful.
It was a beautiful experience, and I'm just grateful to the Most High that we were able to do it. And then on our way back, as we were driving on the highway to the airport, our nephew was being born. So
we tried to wait for y'all. We tried.
He said, y'all ain't here. Okay.
We tried.
We was on our way back. He said, all right. Mm-hmm. So as soon as, of course, we landed in Georgia, in the United States, we headed, after we cleaned up, we headed straight over there to welcome our new baby into this world. So yeah, we've had an adventurous
had a time.
You know,
and we're still here.
And we're still having a time.
So I'm grateful.
So let's talk about what we got going on today.
Just mention one more thing that I didn't say, like, it's significant to us, but on our land, we were able to bury our first person on our land. And it was very just powerful to be able to do such a thing. My husband's first wife, and we've all been to burials, obviously, because we've buried mommy, we buried daddy, our father, our other father, our grandparents. But to actually, I don't know, doing this whole land life is amazing for me. And just seeing everything that our parents instilled in us come to fruition is amazing. And so, you know, we have a cemetery here, and because we own our own land, we don't have to, we can do whatever we want, you know, on this land. And so to be able to do that, I'm just like, wow, the magnitude of being able to bury your own
on your own land.
Powerful and amazing, and it's humbling. You know, I was just humbled for us to experience that and to you know, and it's just showing, and it's the signs of the beginning of, you know, what's to come. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just thankful for that experience as well. So,
mm-hmm. Yes, true autonomy and self-determination and sovereignty. Like, yeah, it's more than a notion and has so many components to it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it is important that we celebrate that, that we acknowledge that. And I think folks are all caught up on our lives. Yeah. Well, what we're sharing of it. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so today we have a guest. Yeah. And we are very excited to continue the series Growing Up. So looking at children of the movement, seeds of revolution, daughters, sons, children of movement builders, liberation activists, pioneers, you know, foundation building folks. And so we have a major special guest today. And we're going to do a little bit differently this time in terms of the bio. We're actually just going to bring our guest in. And then we'll share a little bit about who this person is. So, adding to the stage, Talib Shakur.
Hey, Justin. Family, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
You know, I woke up this morning, so everything's a possibility.
Ashe.
And I was listening to all of your conversations and everything. Wow. Y'all mm-hmm. awesome three ladies, and for y'all to have this platform, it should do major things for a lot of people and for the family, because I believe that the universe needs this type of energy in the world. You know, certain things are lacking, and this is something right here. So kudos to y'all, and I'm so honored to be on your platform.
Thank you. So we're gonna just keep it rolling. Usually we read a bio of our guest, but today we have a video bio. We fancy, huh? So folks can know who this is, and then after that we'll, you know, talk a little bit more about who Talib Shakur is and what he's up to.
We got some lyrics. What's going on?
Ty, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
And having this conversation.
The journey of Tyrone Shakur, as recently told to Pastor A.R. Bernard, is an incredible story. Tyrone was born in South Jamaica, Queens, and had to hustle from the very beginning.
In my mind, I was like, hold up, this can't be life. We can't be living like this.
Tyrone soon realized the benefits of living a life of crime. In the beginning, it was easy. The money flowed, and Tyrone believed he could make it work until his first arrest and conviction.
That didn't stop you. That didn't change your mind.
I felt that I was going to be get rich before I get caught.
Bigger robberies led to more dangerous situations, and for him, a revelation. Following one heist, there was a massive shootout. He and his fellow thieves sat in a parked car. Bullets were flying everywhere, but miraculously, no one in the car was hit.
That's when I realized that God protected me from that, because I have a greater purpose.
Arrested for that crime, he served more than a dozen years at Sing Sing Prison. He vividly remembers the first day.
That night, I fell on my knees. And I said, God, please, by any means necessary, allow me to get out of this prison life safe and sound.
He survived, and while in prison, dreamed of running his own legitimate business, a car detailing service. When released, he did just that, and it gave him the confidence to stay straight and to reach out to an old girlfriend. With God now on his side, he had just one more wound to heal. Shakur longed to meet his biological father. He finally tracked him down and wrote him a letter. A week later, he got a response. The man was the same father of rap star Tupac Shakur.
When I opened it, on the top of the letter, it says, wow, I finally got my son back. I'm never gonna lose contact with you again.
He has visited his father and has also met his half-brothers and sisters and other relatives. He now spends time giving back by counseling at-risk kids. He also marvels at the circumstances that led him to where he is now.
How'd I end up doing 16 plus years in prison and no scars? Coming out victorious to whereas I could be here telling this story.
Born in a fire, raising a storm, a healer and fighter, a rebel was born. God told me to, hands made to mend, but the system saw power they had to condemn.
They labeled him danger, they shackled his name. Go Intel Pro, put him deep in the chains. But freedom ain't locked in the bars they construct. His legacy breathes, it lives in the blood.
Through the years, through the pain, through the sacrifice. Revolution never dies, it just multiplies. Even in the dark, there's a spark to endure. That's how you know that you became a Shakur. I carry the name, I carry the scars. I walk through the flames, I talk to the stars. The struggle and war, I'm finding my cure. That's how you know I became a Shakur.
I carry the name, I carry the scars. I walk through the flames, I talk to the stars. Struggle in war, I'm finding my cure. That's how I know I became a Shakur. Tyrone was lost.
All right.
Beautiful.
Yay. Bravo, my brother. Bravo.
Thank you. Work in progress.
Right. Yes. Yes. So talk about that. Where are you in that process of curating this documentary?
Well, to be honest, I have so much footage now that I'm just trying to get the right directors and producers to put them together most correctly. Mm-hmm. A little backstory to it is that this isn't my thing. I promise you that. You know, I'm more of a behind the scenes type individual, low key, things like that. But once people started finding out about my travels and my life, they told me, hands down, you need a movie, you need a documentary, you need a book, you need this, that, and the third. So my response to them was like, well, how do we do all of that? You know, this is not my element. I was just strictly, you know, street type of individual. And that's not, you know, glorifying it, but mm-hmm. certain people have certain travels that, you know, this it is what it is, so to speak. So once I started changing my life around and then focusing on blessings, because sometimes we get blessings and then it just slipped through our hands. So when so many people tell you the same thing, you have to pay attention to it. And that's what started happening. My sister said, other individuals that I, before I became a Shakur, when they was finding out about my bloodline, they was like, nah, wait a minute. This is major right here. We got to find somebody to pick this up, to take it to the next level. But I knew that I had to do my footwork first. And that's what I was doing to the point. Whereas even though that little trailer was powerful to some people, but it's so much more to blow a person away on my travels. To the point whereas this man, this great man, Dr. Mutula Shakur, lived right next door to me, my life, and I didn't even know that, you know. At the time that I was, you know, living there in South Jamaica, Queens, he was already on the run and, you know, underground doing what he had to do. But his name resonated through my household, through the neighborhoods, through the communities, and in my mind, I was like, who is this Jarrell? Man, who's this? I don't know. There was nothing about no Mutulu or Shakur or nothing back then. Mm-hmm. So when I'm like literally in the bed or walk around the house, and you know what I mean? As a young kid, the family members is championing this specific name. Jarrell is. You heard Jarrell did? Jarrell is. Jarrell, I thought, you know, all types of Jarrell. So I get into the communities and the same thing. But then it started switching to like, Dad, you look just like Jarrell. You look just like this. And the house that I'm playing in right next door, not down the block, not up the street, but directly right next door is the house that, you know, everybody have family, friends that live on the block and stuff like that. You may spend the night at their house or you might go on trips with them, whichever. And that's the way it was inside this house right here. And years later, come to find out that this is my family here, blew me away.
Wow.
There's always more to add to that, but I don't want to, you know, intrude.
You gotta, save some.
Yeah, you got to save some. You hop right into it.
Yeah.
Yes, Jarrell Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And it's so much that you said that I know we'll get into, you know, I know you're going to get into in the doc and that we'll get into also in this conversation.
Absolutely.
I want to say, though, when I first saw the trailer and I heard that song, I was like, this song is dope.
Yes.
The song.
Right.
And just even the title, like How I Became a Shakur. Because like I said earlier, this series, you know, this particular series of season 4 is all about growing up. And so many of our guests, including ourselves, have talked about, like, you know, growing up in the movement, growing up, you know, obviously knowing who our parents were, whether we were separated from them or not, periodically. And it's just so fascinating to me that you grew up a Shakur in a way, or Shakur adjacent, right next door, and knowing, I just have so many questions around like what that was like, you know, even having, because you talked a little bit about how the community admired Jarrell, right? Mm-hmm. How they admired, you know, his actions. And then the, you know, conversation shifted as his name shifted, I'm sure, as his politics shifted. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how that shifted for you as well. Like, as you begin to learn more about this person, like, what was your particular admiration of Jarrell, if you had any? And then how did that shift when you realized, like, wait a minute, this is my father.
Yeah. And,
you know, that folks are talking about, like, if you could walk me through, maybe even like, I don't know if that you're saving that for the documentary or if that could be special, you know, for us and our guests. But if you could just walk us through, like, maybe that conversation, like, who told you or were you curious, had an idea before?
Well, you're asking all the right questions, and you know, y'all my family, and I'm not just saying that. Y'all really treat me like family, and once Seth introduced me to y'all, it blew me away, and y'all see how I treat y'all. I love y'all like cooked food, so anything isn't a secret to y'all, your platform, whatever. If y'all ever want any type of exclusive, y'all be the one that get it, okay? So that's just how it is. Yeah, so literally growing up, I always heard about this man's name, but me per se, I was just knee deep in the streets. And I mean, at a young age, like 11, 12, I'm running around. But when I'm coming to the house, it's always about this Jarrell this and this Jarrell that. And, you know, neighborhoods tell me, yo, you look just like Jarrell. What are you, Jarrell's son? And, you know, I was getting all of that. And I just sideswept it like, yeah, nah, I don't know the man and stuff. So as time going on, one of my sisters, he had got captured at one time, right? And it was a breaking news on TV. So they were showing his picture and all of that. So I was in a room with one of my sisters at that time. And when it was on the screen, you know, how parents are sometimes, they'd be like, you get in your room, you know, go over there and watch TV. And they watching this and they, so all the adults went into my mother's room they closed the door and to watch this specific newscast, whatever was going on. But I knew it was something major, but I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. But my sister and I, we in her room, and you know, us being nosy, we cut on the news. And sure enough, I'm sitting next to her, and she see the big picture of him on the TV, and she went like this, and then looked at me. She said, "Boy, you better ask mommy something." You better ask mommy something. Yeah. So in my head, I'm like, girl, you bugging out. You know, I didn't think nothing of it. So as time going on, you know, I'm still hearing the same thing. And then it switched to, wow, he look like Matulu. Wow, that look like, don't he look like Matulu? That type of conversation. Mm-hmm. So when I went to prison, I got captured and did the years that I was doing, it was resonated to people there as well. But then when I came home, I'm on the train going to work. And this is what made me ask my mother the question after all these years later. Older gentleman with African garment on was sitting on the train platform, you know, kind of going across from me. And he just kept on staring at me. So I had, you know, I still had that mentality, man. Listen, if you get up, you're going to get it. Or we just going to be bowing into one of us. When I'm not going for that. So the train stopped and I stood up. And this man literally stood up like maybe 2 feet in front of me. So I just clenched my fist and just waiting for whatever's going to go first. You know, he said, excuse me, young man. Are you possibly Dr. Matulu Shakur's son? And mind you, this is years later, over 16 years later. And I'm up here. In my mind, I said, here we go with this again. Then I said, nah, sir, I'm sorry. No, I don't know the man. So now I go off the train platform and walk towards the right. He walks towards the left. Before I went to walk up the stairs, somebody told me to turn around. I turned around. This man is still standing in a crowded platform, looking up at him, shaking his head with bewilderment, like, wow. So I said, all right, that's it. I got off the train, got outside where I could get reception, and I called my mother. So I said, Ma, I got a question to ask you. She said, what's that, baby? I said, well, I never met my father before. So she said, you never met? And then she said the name that supposed to be my father, man I never met or seen or heard his voice before a day in my life. So I said, have you ever introduced me to him? How would I supposed to meet him if you never introduced me? So she was like, yeah, I just couldn't get up with him. You know, it was that type of situation. So I said, Ma, let me ask you the real question I want to ask you. Mm-hmm. I said, is it possible that Dr. Matulu Shakur is my biological father? She took a breath for a second, and then she said, yes, son. Yes, that is your biological father. Did I get upset? Did I get flooded? Yes, I did. But, you know, I have respect for my elders. So I said it in the most polite way possible. And I told her, listen, I'm not going to stop until I find him now, you know. And then I continued going to work. And when I got there, I asked the receptionist, is it possible you could look up his name and then send it to my office? So within like maybe 5 minutes, I hear over the loudspeaker, Ty, I got it. I said, all right, send it to my office. So once I got the address and the full name and all that, I wrote him. And when I wrote him, I didn't tell him that he was my father. I was telling them people that I was raised around and know, and I gave them specific names and all of that. And then at the end, I asked, is it possible that you might be my biological father? About a week later, I get a reply back. I said, wow, I finally got my son back. Here's your family names and numbers. And the list went on. So on the top of the list was Afeni Shakur. Next was Cedric Shakur. Next was Mopreme. And all the way down to Baba Sekou and Baba Bilal and the rest of them. It just went on and on. And I didn't know what to do with the list. So, but what I did was, he said, make sure you call them. Make sure this is your family. So now, you know, Afeni to me, at this time, I wasn't revolutionary. I didn't know nothing about, you know, the political movement. We could get into that in a minute as well. But as when I see Afeni name on it, the only thing I knew was Tupac's mother. So I'm up there like, yeah, why is this on the list right here, you know? But then he explained it to me. So I was like, in a way, quote unquote, starstruck because of Afeni herself. So I said, nah, I'm not going to call her. I'm going to call my sister. I'm going to call Seth for a second. See, you know, feel the energy or whatever the case may be. So when I called her, I said, hello, is this Seth? She said, hey, is this my brother, Todd? I said, yes. So she just got all happy and she just started yelling around. She said, listen, listen, mommy got plane tickets for you and your wife to come out here. We want to all meet you, right? So that's how that part started. And then when I got out there, I don't know if you ever heard of the Antoine Fisher story, but I felt like that reunion was when I got out there, because so many people was at the house to meet me. And that was a joyful occasion. Mind you, before all of this, I only had like maybe 6 family members. You know what I mean? And there's so much more y'all now. So when I got to the house, you know, we spent a decent amount of time, but it was about to get dark. So Seth grabbed my arm and my wife's arm. Come on, we got to go see mommy before she go to sleep. We just going to stay like maybe 5-10 minutes with her, but we'll see her tomorrow morning. We walked down the boardwalk to get there. When we got there, she was sitting on the couch. And I came through the door. She had the big smile on her face. And she stood up and she walked towards me and put both of her hands like this on both sides of my face. And she came close to me like she was, you know, smelling me or something. You know, I don't want to say she was sniffing, but she came close to me like that. And then she gave me a strong embrace, said, wow, you are one of ours. And then she told me to sit down and said, I got something for you. So she went to a picture cabinet and she pulled out 2 authentic pictures. You know it's authentic because of the type of paper it was on. And one with her and Tupac, and the other one was her, Set, and Tupac. She said she wanted me to keep them. You know, that's for safekeeping for you. But now I want you to do me a favor. So I said, what is that, Mama Faye? She said, when you go home, I want you to give your mother a hug and a kiss and tell her you love her and you forgive her. Now, I didn't understand for the life of me why she would say that, because I never met her family before. You know, her and I never had a conversation or anything. So I guess through research or, you know, whatever conversation she had with my father, whatever the case may be, brought her to the conclusion to say what she was saying. That was in my mind. So after I asked her that, why did she, you know, tell me that? She said, because your mother had to been one of the strongest ladies to keep you underneath the wraps all of these years, knowing what was going on with the people of the liberation, they children. So I looked at a lot of things differently once she told me that. But at the same time, I felt that at a certain age, your parents could at least told you what the deal was. I literally, if I didn't even ask my mother, she probably still wouldn't have told me, you know? Mm-hmm. I was in like a whirlwind right there. And the things that I was told that was being witnessed, it's weird how things connect, right? So in the process, and you see it in some of this body of work that I have put together, and this is going to be a part of an interview of Baba Sekou, Sekou Odinga. He was talking about the Baba Bilal, Sunni Ali, when they raided that family's house and the handcuffs were so big, the babies were so small that the handcuffs couldn't fit on their wrists. It kept sliding through. So when he gave that testimony, at that time, I didn't know none of y'all. I ain't meeting none of y'all, right? So then here it is, after that testimony, we was talking, we was in communication, and you know, maybe that was like maybe a month later. So then I remember speaking with Seth, and she said, yes, that's Afua, that's Aisha, that's all of them. That's who he was talking about. I said, get the heck out of here. This makes things the more powerful of a mini series, because it's now I'm putting pieces together on the reason why my mother literally didn't tell me. When I had asked her, I said, oh, Mom, why you never told me about this? She told me that she didn't want the media in her business and, you know, things of that sort. In a way that didn't sit comfortable with me, because who give a doggone about a media when it's your blood family? You know, at least tell me, forget them. But I understood fear. fear of a mother's love, you know, protecting their children, their child. So I bit that bullet, and I definitely honored Afeni's wish by telling my mother, I apologize, I love you, I appreciate you. And, you know, I gave all the accolades that she deserved. Oh, snap, what happened? Can you see me?
Yes, yeah, still here.
Oh, something went on my side. Are we still good?
Okay. Yes, we can still can hear you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, my screen looked crazy, but it's all good, though. Yeah, as long as we good on your side.
Yeah. All right. So. Just quickly for context for our listeners, what year were you born? Because I think that'll help, too, with thinking about just the social political climate of that time and why your mom made that choice.
Right, absolutely. I was born in 1969, and that definitely was a time of struggle, the time of revolution, the time of change. And these are the times that I felt that I wish I would have been part of our people to make a difference opposed to harming scenarios in the world. If I had the right guidance in on my side, yes, I know that it would my direction would have been different. For my mother to want to have protect me, maybe that was a good thing at that time. But then when we get to the late 70s and 80s and 90s, things have shifted, things have changed. I mean, there's individuals, political children that know about my story, and they champion me doing the body work that I'm doing. So I told them, well, shoot, y'all could do the same thing. Let's collaborate together. And you know what their response was? Oh, I ain't letting the police do this. I'm not trying to get killed. I'm not trying to, you know, all of the negative aspect of why we can't stand in our own shoes and walk our positive path. Because even though our ancestors and our brothers and sisters of the movement was doing everything for a positive reason, the narrative that the I'm just going to say the opposites see, they see something different, and it's not that. So us as the babies of the, you know, revolution and, you know, moving forward, we have the same but different objectives. You know, we want change, but we have different ways on providing change. You know, me per se, I can't see me doing nothing negative again in life. Why? Because I am not going to give the world the opportunity for what to smear the family's name in my behalf, for two to have me in prison for the rest of my life. You know, it's different if I end up going to prison for something that I did do opposed to something that I didn't do. And you got to sit up and you try to fight for your freedom. I've been through that over 16 years incarcerated. And when I tell you the legal system, if your money is not up there and have political ties, yeah, you'll be sitting down for a while. Mm-hmm. Yes. I can add some more. I just want to just pause for y'all.
Yeah, I mean, it's powerful. It's very powerful. And, you know, I know we've talked, you know, offline about a lot of these things. And it's just really, I'm really glad. We're all really glad that you found us, however you found us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish it would have been earlier, but, you know, you're here now. So we'll take all of that. So I was going to ask, how was it the first time you actually met your father and you saw each other and you saw yourself?
Okay, let's go through that situation. So
what happened?
Y'all probably know Dr. Nakakai.
Tatsu.
Yes, Tatsu. Him and another acupuncturist lady, they the ones that took me to go visit him for the first time when he was in Victorville, California. So that ride, it was just us three. And from Mo Preem house, yeah, shout out to my brother Mo Preem as well. His house was like maybe an hour and a half away from, maybe 2 hours away from the facility that my father was held in. So that travel with us three in there, he kept on saying, "Whoa, wait till your father see you. Whoa, wait till your father see you," and stuff like that. I said, "Man, would you stop that? You're making me more nervous." You know. So when I get inside the facility, him and I sitting down, meaning me and Tatsu and the other lady that was there with us, we sat down for like maybe 20 minutes or so, and then it was a door with a little window towards the right side. So Tatsu said, "There he is right there. He's right behind that door." So I said, okay. He said, get up, go meet him. All right. So when the door opened, my father was a high profile individual. So a lot of places he'd walked with security opposed to quote unquote police security, if you know what I mean. So he had another inmate bringing him into the visiting room. So when it came through the door, the security that he had, the big dude with him, said, "Oh shit. Look at that mother effer. He looked just like you. Oh my God." So the guy couldn't come all the way. He was just making sure Abu got to the visiting room safe. So he's going to wait for him on the outside there. So when him and I got close enough, tears were coming down his eye, and he grabbed my head and damn near slammed my head into his chest and gave me a kiss on my cheek and said, "I'm never going to lose contact with you again. I love you. Sit down." And he told me to ask him any questions, anything that, you know, was solidify any questions that I may have had or doubts I may have had. So Dr. Tatsu and her partner, they left out of the visiting room so we could have time to talk. So one of the first things I asked him was, "I just got to be honest with you. How do you know that I'm your son?" Right? He said, right. He said, "Mother effer." "I know." He said, "I know when, where, and how you was conceived." I said, whoa, that's a little bit too much. I don't need to know all of that there. And then he started running down all the names and family members and stuff that, even names and stuff that I didn't even put in the letter to him, and blew me away to the point whereas he really is my father. He knows all of this. He about all of this. He even told me the reason why I had to be underneath the wraps in a way. I use that terminology because I didn't think of something better to be said, but I feel that I shouldn't have been underneath the wraps. But what he told me was that was an agreement that my father and my mother had with each other, but I'm not knowing this all this time. Yes, one, for safety purposes, and I guess two was, I guess they was in a relationship that they wasn't supposed to be in. I don't know. However, that conversation went on, and ever since then, you know, him and I stayed real close. I went to visit him often. I mean, if you see his visiting list records, you'll be blown away behind it. And yeah, from New York all the way out to Victorville, Lexington, Kentucky, all of that, you know, from that short period of time, I made sure that I tried to learn as much as possible about his life, my life. What can I do to help the family to move forward? You know, of course, everything positive. Come to find out, we was doing a lot of the same things, meaning mentoring the youth, the people that he's in, the young men that he was incarcerated with. I'm in close communication with them to this day. And one of the reasons is because he have taught them so much to how to change their life, about him, about life period, the life skills that a young man was supposed to learn from their biological parent. he was able to pour into these young men that was incarcerated with him. Now they able to share with me about my father, who he is, who he, I don't like to say was, because he still is. Look, he lives through them, through himself, through these young men here. So that's some more of the reason why the documentary miniseries is going to be more powerful, because it's not going to be a copy and paste type of body of work. And when I say copy and paste, when you look in the YouTube and certain body of work of Tupac, Matulu, or Fanny, individuals that people take the content and copy and paste it and make a whole different type of experience that they capitalize off of. I could guarantee that the body work that will be in the universe regarding our family, and y'all, whether y'all like it or not, will be part of it. Okay, I'm just putting that in the universe. Because, nah, but seriously.
We're good with that.
Yeah, because it has to be, because it's a real travel. You know what I mean? It, one thing I don't want to do is be fake about anything. You know what I mean? Don't want to be fake. So the reason why it's not fake is because Baba Sekou spoke about y'all in the part of the documentary that he had put on my camera, right? So now that helps me to understand why my mother did not tell me about my family, because she is witnessing the same thing that Baba Sekou was witnessing regarding the raise in the house and taking the babies and this, that, and the third. And I'm just so thank God that y'all prevailed through all of that, because y'all beautiful family and y'all doing everything the correct way in life. So it would have been a tragedy for all of y'all to meet y'all demise on the strength of fear and anger and being spiteful, you know? So salute to y'all and the whole team.
Mm-hmm. Ashe.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Powerful. Powerful. And it leads to what you just said, leads to my question. How are you carrying on the Shakur legacy? Because, and that's a big question, because there is, like, you know, when you and I, like Aisha said, we always have all these conversations offline when we're just sitting with family. And that Shakur name is big. You know, of course, the industry, the world rather, only knows a small part of that Shakur name. Mm-hmm. So just understanding even parts of who that Shakur name is, how do you feel you're carrying on the legacy?
Well, I really asked my father. I asked him a question about acupuncture and the movement. You know, I told him that I don't choose to be phony, right? I have to be real on who I am. And his response was that is a Shakur. You don't have to study acupuncture. You don't have to be a political activist. I studied you. I found out about you. You are a great man. And the things that you do in society to help the youth, to entrepreneurship, and, you know, how you love your family and your close friends that you consider family, that is a Shakur right there. So you continue doing what you're doing, and to add on to move it forward, you'll be doing the family a great justice. So I was relieved to hear that, because, you know, sometimes people say, mm-hmm. Oh, legacy, you have to do what I did or do what that did. And nah, I'd be phony if I be don't get me wrong. I do march with at certain scenario situations, and you will see it in the documentary body work that I'm doing. But far mm-hmm. as, you know, getting on the front line to really advocate, I won't be honest with myself, because I know the repercussions behind that if I did do it. You know, one of the things he told me, it's going to be funny, but it's a fact. He said, well, I was sitting across from him and I'm talking, and I was wondering why he's staring at me so hard. So I said, why are you looking at me like that? He put a smirk on the face and he said, "You know what? You soft." I said, "Huh? Excuse me?" He said, "Yeah, man. Everything that I heard about you, read up on you, stuff like that, yo, you soft." So I took that as a honor. And I'm going to tell you why I took that as an honor, right? Mm-hmm. So in my past travels, I was more of it. Okay. So, Afua, you remember when you seen me the other day at the festival? What was the first thing you said out your mouth? You said, "Yeah, why you look so angry? Why you so mean? Are you fighting and stuff like that?" So when you said, that's the type of demeanor and the way I used to be, really. And that look on me was because something's going through my mind. So bring it full circle, when he said that, I explained to him that you don't understand how much of an honor that was by you saying that. He said, "Explain what you mean." I said, "Listen, if I continue my past life and didn't change my inner spirit and how I really am, them boys is gonna have me sit down for the rest of my life." So I had to not only change the outer shell, I had to change the inner shell, the way I walk, the way I talk, the way I speak, the way my character is and stuff, because they don't want certain people in the atmosphere that's going to corrupt. So once I explained that to him, he leaned back in his seat and he said, I take that back. I understand now, right? But then I told him, not only that, I need you to understand me. This is how you have to come out into the free world. Well, not free world, but the world that we live in. But yeah, come out in the world that we live in so they could see the real you. Everything that people are reading on or viewing on YouTube and the social media, I hate to say it, Baba, but everything isn't positive in their eyes. But for to know the man, that's when the narratives change. So we have to make sure that they really see who we really are. Yes, you are a political advocate for our people. Yes, you are acupuncturist. Yes, you are a loving father and so forth, so on. But that's not what sticks in their head, you know? So to answer your question, because it's I'm not trying to fill the footsteps of the Shakur. I just want to add on in my way, you know, and I believe the body of work will be able to magnify the Shakur legacy, the brand, to whereas, again, it's not copy and paste, and it don't have to be censored towards certain scenarios. Like, nah, you can't do this and you can't do that. If I can't do the body of work, I understand I'll probably need producers, a couple executive producers and so forth and so on. I'm open to that. But they also have to be open to the sit down on how I would like for this body of work to move forward. I will let them use the creative ability that they do have. Yes, fine. But after I view whatever the body of work that they have put together and it's not going down the same line that I needed to go, the family needed to go, I sit it on the shelf. I put it away until the right people understand what we're trying to do. We're not trying to put out something that just so people to run to the movies or the YouTube or social media and stream it. See, they watching a Shakur film. Nah, I want people to be able to take something out of it, to be able to help other people, to be able to move forward with a positive agenda regarding the Shakurs, the Obafemis, the Sunni Alis, the whole direction of the children of the whirlwind, the daughters of the whirlwind, you know, the seeds of the revolution, you know, because it is a positive push. Don't make a revolution, a change, something negative. It's not negative. Certain individuals can make it negative. Yes, I get that. But you have to know a person. You have to know the spirit. I don't mind conversating and having real dialogue with races other than ourselves, so to speak, religions mm-hmm. other than our religions, so to speak. And that's the only way we could let the massive know that we are really good people, you know? Mm-hmm. We are people that don't take no shorts as well, but who stand up people do, you know what I mean? We have to protect our ladies, you know? We have to protect, and that's just how it is. I'm no bully out here, I'm no gangster, I'm no rah-rah, but I am a person that's really about, you know, family unity and protecting of our ladies, man, because there's a war going on, and unfortunately y'all in the middle of it, and this sex trafficking and females being abducted and all of that, that's some real coward shit for the sake of money. Nah, man, that's not fair. So, you know, I will continue pushing the narrative and the legacy of the Shakur the best way I know how. And again, I'm not a media like that. I'm not, you know, a celebrity or none of that like that there, you know?
You're doing it the grassroots. Yeah. You're doing it the way that it needs to be done for you. And that is the way that your father started it, doing it. You know, he was doing it in the community, doing it for the community. He wasn't doing it for notoriety. Yeah. He was doing it because he saw that there was a void in the community. Listening to you talk is, it's taking me all the way back to listening to your father when he would talk. Yeah, and all of our fathers and our parents and the way that they spoke and how passionate they were. And everything you said, he said it.
Yeah.
Everything you said, he said it. Mm-hmm. You know, and
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not even a question around how am I carrying forward the legacy. Like you just are because you're living, you know, you did it from go.
As soon as you
found out,
hit the ground running. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Well, I believe this is what I owe. I owe y'all. I owe my other nieces and my cousins and my other family members my presence. One thing Fanny told me, and Seth tells me often as well, is that you need it. You are needed in our family. You can't, don't worry about the past. You are here in the right time. You know, sometimes I beat myself up. And she be giving me stories about her and Tupac, and she wished that I was around when the time he was around, or you would have had a great time, he would have loved you, and you know, all of the above. She got eerie one day, right? She called me in tears, because I always text her, record. If I don't hear from her in a couple of days or a week, I'm texting, I'm calling and stuff like that, right? So one time she had gave me a story in tears. She had said, bro, I love you. You know, I'm not trying to make mock of her, but she was, you know, sitting on like that. I said, what's going on with you? What's the matter? She had said, you do the same thing that Pac used to do. I said, yeah, what you mean by that? She said, Tupac, whenever he did not hear from me, he would find a way to communicate. To this one day, there was a knock on the door, and he was on tour out of the state or somewhere where he was at. He was on tour. But the knock on the door, she didn't know who the heck it was. But when she opened the door, it was Pac right there. Had to lay eyes on her, gave her a big hug, put some money in her pocket, and he was gone. He didn't come in the house. He didn't say nothing. He just wanted to make sure his little sister was okay. And that's how I am to this day. For all of y'all, and I believe y'all all can contest, you know, whenever we do see each other, whenever we do speak with each other, you know, it's nothing but love, unity, Shaka, the rest of the brothers, everybody, you know, it's nothing but love. And shout out to all the brothers, you know, because it's a collective work, even though we're doing things individually, if that makes sense. Everybody have their own part to play, and we don't have to be on each other's lap at the same time. You can't get work done like that. You can't get work done. But whenever we pull out the Batman card, I call it the Batman card, everybody can We all form to whereas we support each other. Why y'all don't think that I'm always asking y'all, well, can y'all come over here? Can y'all do this? I won't do that. I won't do that because I respect your time. I respect things that y'all are doing. But when the time comes that I need y'all to come out, hands down, I know it's not a struggle. You know what I'm saying? I say when, where, how, whatever, you know? So, you know, just like the fundraiser we was going to have that is postponed for a better reason, none of y'all denied me. They was like, okay, what time, what do y'all need? Y'all need these, you need this venue, you need that. So, you know, that's where I am with it. We need to really help each other move forward whatever way we are able to. And just everything that is not a dollars and cents. You'd be surprised how much just a pleasant smile goes. Yeah. A quick little text, a little emoji or something. You know what I'm saying? Bumping into you at the festival and all of that. That, you know, I was scared with emotions by seeing y'all. And so, the food stand y'all have? Yeah. Did you show her the video I sent you before?
No, I'm going to send it to her.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, I'm just proud of all of y'all. I know it's supposed to be about the Chicago, but I need to salute. I need to salute y'all, you know. Y'all are amazing women, amazing queens, and y'all are doing everything that y'all supposed to do, and your ancestors, mothers, and fathers is definitely shining down on y'all very brightly, and y'all just pushing forward.
Ashe, thank you.
So I have to say this, because I've just been sitting here smiling and laughing and on the verge of tears. So I'm so excited for this documentary. I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited for us.
Yes.
That we get to celebrate, you know, your coming into the family.
Yes.
And there was a couple of years ago, I think we were at an event and they were honoring your dad and you were like, I'm not the speaker. I'm not so much the speaker. And look at you. He asked maybe two questions. Speaking away. So I just wanted to say that, and I could listen to you speak, you know, for hours, you know, and I would love to, you know, even have a part two of this once the documentary comes out.
Yes.
We'll let folks know too. We will advocate and market and promote on your behalf on our platform. So for folks looking for the trailer or looking for additional information, we will be posting that in our description.
Yes.
So we close our episodes with something called the Power Five. And so we're going to share either a word or a phrase, and we want you to respond to that word or phrase with the very first thing that comes to your mind. Okay? So first word is... Right. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm listening.
The first word is Shakur.
First thing I think about is thankful to God.
Ashe.
And that's the meaning of Shakur. So, you know, of course, it's thankful to God. And then it's the family. It's the unity. It's the history. It's to do my very best to make all of y'all proud of me and do not smear our name in no kind of way. That's why I am so particular on taking interviews and taking pictures and videos, because of, you know, once it's in the universe, a person's able to manipulate it the way that they want to manipulate it. And that's not fair. I know y'all gonna do right by what we got going on. Other people that I did do interviews with, except for one, but to care that, didn't do right for, you know, certain things, you know. We have to protect what we have. And for a side note, a while ago, I can't say the person name because I don't want to get a copyright infringement or nothing like that, but a known celebrity was I seen something on YouTube that they were smearing, said that Set and Mopreme was smearing this person name, but I hurried up and called them to protect them because I know that it's not true. So once I called Set and she told me to send it to her, she said, baby, we truly appreciate you. I know you're not part of this industry type life and all of that. So everything that's going on, that's just that AI stuff. And if you didn't hear it out of my mouth or Mo's mouth or whatever, it's just that, you know, people just trying to drum up content. Don't worry about that, you know? So I'm saying that to say that these are things that I have to learn and protect on certain things. Because there's times, and we still on the Shakur name. I didn't forget about the question. So when I used to go on podiums, like go to certain events that they are honoring my father, the Shakurs and stuff, I see individuals that's selling items that's with family name and faces on it. And they not knowing that I had the credit card to all of where it's supposed to be going to. So when they telling me that, oh, we donated it to the family and friends and we doing this and doing that, I said, yeah, really? You donated it? Yeah, we did it. We got some more coming too. So I turned my back, open up my phone, go to my cash, the credit card number and all that. And I'm reading that there's nothing coming from them over there. So what I do is, you know, put like this, just protected the legacy, so to speak. I protected the legacy.
Sound like Pac when they used to be selling his tapes on 125th Street.
It's something similar like that, yeah. Because to be honest with you, that's not fair because I know how generous we are. So if you are making money off of the name, yeah, you're supposed to eat. But at the same time, there's other people. The reason why we opened up the family and friends and other donation networks is to help others. There's people that's a political figures that's incarcerated that could use some of those funds for whatever stamps or whatever the case may be. Or whatever way we may utilize the money for. But you going to put everything in your pocket? That's not fair. So you got to
be
careful. No,
okay. Not at all.
So
not
that's Shakur, man. Okay, what's the next one?
The next one is a book everyone should read.
A book that everyone should read. Okay, I'm going to say this book, but y'all might not understand the book. And the reason why I say this is a book must read, because to me, it signifies my father. And this is a conversation that I didn't know that he read the book. And I told him, if there's a book that ever to be a movie that was ever to be made about you, they should use this book because of this is you. But before I said that, he said the name of the book and it blew me away. The book is Standing by the Scratch Line by Guy Johnson, An Echo of a Distant Summer. This is Maya Angelou's grandson's book. And it's about a black cowboy, whereas when you read the book, everything that he went through, you could see it in the realm of my father being King Tremaine. Because King Tremaine is
The main character.
Yes, the main character of the book. So that's what it'd be. It would be that. Those two books. Okay. Then by the Scratch Line, Echoes of a Distant Summer. They some thick books now. So you guys ready to pay
attention. Ready to read.
Yes.
Okay, what's a film that everyone should watch?
How I Became a Shakur in theaters soon enough.
Absolutely.
All right. Your favorite revolutionary?
All of Our Parents.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah, that's the perfect answer. The last one is, what is your prayer for the next generation?
Pull your pants up. No, I'm just, okay.
I like Baba Bilal right there.
Yeah. So for the next generation is to wake up. My prayers for our next generation is to wake up, because the way they are running around like cowboys out here, and I'm not disrespecting them in no kind of way, but a lot of our youth and young adults are being murdered for no apparent reason. What you looking at? Pow. What color you got on? Pow. You know, all different types of reasons why you're catching a bullet. So my prayer for the next generation is for us brothers and sisters that weathered the storm to be able to grab at least one or two of them up to help change their mindset, to help guide them the right way for the next generation.
Wow. Yes.
That was beautiful.
Thank you so much.
This is a powerful conversation, Talib. Yeah, we're going to have to do a part two.
Yes, I'm with y'all. Hands down, whatever y'all ask me to do. I was about to come over y'all way. I was like, okay, is it in person? Is it this?
Part two will be in person.
I mean, I'm just trying to find any way to hug y'all. That's it. So that's why I'm going to be in person. But, okay, next time.
Yep. Soon come. So thank you so much, cuz. Thank you so much. Make sure you guys, we will promote How I Became a Shakur with our special guest, Talib Shakur. Make sure you all support his documentary, support his movement in this process, support all the different processes and movements and organizations that our family is involved in at this time, the Tupac Amaru Shakur Foundation, Seeds of Revolution, Daughters of the Whirlwind, Matulu Shakur Friends and Family. As our cousin stated, all the funds that are still collected go to political prisoners, those who are in exile, and other type of organizations that are here to help the youth, and also, you know, continue to support and the campaigns for the political prisoners that are still behind bars. So Free Them All is the call every time, every day. Mm-hmm. Free Them All. You know, right now a lot of our support and prayers are going to Imam Jamil, as they have given him a sentence of his life to, you know, and he's still behind bars. They're only looking at 8 months now. And so, you know, our prayers for him to be freed so he can be home, as, you know, our uncles who your father and our other uncles who have been allowed to come home and be with family, you know, to leave this world in a space of being surrounded by their loved ones. So we thank you again, Talib. And yes, our next episode, we're going to go a little deeper, talk about just, you know, that whole reunion too of when Uncle Matulu came home and, you know, all the different things that, you know, we all have gone through. So most high willing, we will see you again very soon.
Yes, we love you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Peace.
All right, peace.
Peace.
Oh, it was beautiful. That was great.
It was.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Super, super powerful. That's all I can say. I think we said it all, you know, throughout the episode. We did. And I was seriously on the verge of tears and laughing.
I was too. I kept
so like, much admiration. Yeah.
It was like, I was like, oh.
Just so much admiration.
But it was all good. And he did so well.
Yeah.
Like, he's definitely. And, but you know what happens?
He's daddy's son.
When they leave, it comes in you. Like, oh, it's coming more. So that's why he's showing up more. You see that hair? That hair went all the way.
Yeah.
All the way right. It's like, okay. And that's it. So, yeah.
I mean, it literally, I just was sitting there like, this just is a reflection of Kalani and Matulu right here. Mm-hmm. And I could just call it. Sitting there smiling, like, look at our children.
And yeah. We are our ancestors for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we got to try.
Yes. We want to thank everyone for tuning in.
Yes.
And we will see you on next episode. Mm-hmm. And thank you.
All right. So we want to give a big shout out, a big happy birthday to our cousin, Tupac Amaru Shakur. Today is his birthday.
And we will ask that you support the Tupac Amaru Shakur Foundation, as Princess Madaya said earlier. You can find us on IG at TASF.
Mm-hmm. Also, Juneteenth is coming up. Happy Juneteenth.
Yes, happy Juneteenth.
That is it. Is that the end? No.
Be blessed. Happy birthday to Uncle Stay Cool, because his birthday is coming up.
Oh, yes.
His birthday is tomorrow. His birthday is tomorrow.
Tomorrow is also the 9th anniversary of our mother's passing. So this month is full of birthdays.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers.
Mm-hmm. Happy Father's Day.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot happening.
June is powerful. Yes. Powerful month for us.
Thank you. Be blessed.
Be blessed.
Peace.
Look for me in the whirlwind.
Hey, revolutionaries. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Seeds of Revolution, Daughters of the Whirlwind podcast. To join the family, like, subscribe, and share with who you think should be a part of the fam. Comment if y'all want us to cover specific topics or if you have questions. Peace.